looking at you to turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Really looking at the words of verses 21 through 23. We have simply entitled the message, The Blood. With God's word open before us, can we just seek the Lord's face, please, and need it. And we're a word of prayer, we need it help as we come to the preaching of His word. Let's all pray. O God, we thank Thee tonight. There is a fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. We thank the Lord it is a fountain whereby the sinner can plunge by faith and lose all their guilty stains. Lord, we also are aware that the hymn writer asked the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we pray that we might preach well on the blood tonight. O God, we pray that we might rightly divide Thy word. Lord, we know it is a subject that the devil hates. It is a subject, Lord, that is scarcely touched upon on any other church. But O God, we thank the Lord for the blood this evening. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. We ask, Lord, that Thou might come into our midst. Lord, Thy Spirit would move from the back pew to the front pew. Thou would, Lord, search out hearts this night. Oh God, we pray that men and women would recognize where they are before Thee. And for those that are not seated, that they might come by faith to the foot of the old rugged cross. Lord, it's not the wood, but it's the work of the cross that we point sinners to. Lord, we pray to that end that Thou would help us to uplift the Savior. Fill me with the power of Thy Spirit. Give us fresh unction from above. Lord, that He preaches thus, and thus saith the Lord. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. It is the book of Jude that we find Him describing those who speak error and evil, and He describes them as clouds without water, as trees without fruit, and as wandering stars, as opposed to those stars that are in Christ's hand. He also says that they have gone in the way of Cain. What does he mean? They were those who sought to betray themselves as the messengers of God, and who were supposed to preach the everlasting gospel. But yet, like Cain, it was bloodless. Cain's way of approaching God was by the work of his own hands and without the shed blood. And thereby his offering was unacceptable. And to this day, men and women, there are preachers who still stand forth. And they tell forth a message of sorts. And their people may even testify and say that our wee man or our man preaches the gospel. And yet I want to tell you on the authority of God's precious word that it's no gospel if it is a bloodless message. For where there is no blood, there's no life. And God says, not this preacher, but God says the woe of heaven is upon them. I can do none else, therefore, than to make much of Calvary and to preach Christ and Him crucified, and while to them that perish it is foolishness, to us who are saved it means everything. For it is the power of God unto salvation. One of the emblems that is spread upon The remembrance table tonight is the wine. And as these emblems speak to us of Christ and bring us to remember what the Savior has done for guilty, hell-deserving sinners there on yonder tree outside the city walls of Jerusalem, we would do well to consider them in a more particular fashion. The bread that speaks to us of the broken body of Christ. But it is this evening I want us to look at the other. And I want us to look at Calvary from afar off. In fact, away back from the standpoint of the Passover night in the land of Egypt. But it is to this one aspect that I want to draw your attention to, and that is the blood of the Passover lamb. And as we do so, I have to, and I must ask each one this question. What does the blood mean to you tonight? What does the blood mean to you tonight? Your answer to that question will determine whether you're saved or not. Let me first of all consider with you the preciousness of the blood. The last of the plagues that God was to send to the land of Egypt was to be the death of the firstborn in every home and throughout the country. But for the deliverance of the children of Israel, this was to be the beginning of the Passover, for they were instructed to take of a lamb and to shed its blood. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. To state the obvious, the blood of the slain lamb was special. And you will see just how special it was when you consider the lamb that was to be taken. And that lamb that was to be taken, you'll notice from verse 5 in the chapter, it was to be a lamb without blemish. They couldn't take a sick lamb. They couldn't take a lamb that was torn or was injured in any way. It had to be a lamb without blemish. And indeed, they inspected that lamb for 4 days to see if there were any flaws in it. And after that 4-day period, if they determined that the lamb was a spotless lamb, then that lamb qualified to be chosen and to be killed and its blood to be used for their deliverance from the death angel. It had to be a lamb without blemish. I wonder, do you know that the first time that lamb is used in the Bible is in Genesis 22? That is, of course, the occasion where Abraham, commanded of God, was to take his only son Isaac, and he was to offer him as a sacrifice upon Mount Moriah, the place that God would show him. And as they're walking along there, Isaac says to his father, "We have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" To which Abraham replied, "God will supply Himself the lamb." And we, of course, know the story, the passage, the narrative. But men and women, all throughout the Old Testament, there are passages which speak about the lamb. But the question is still this: where is the lamb? And the first time that the word lamb is used in the New Testament is in John 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist at the River Jordan, and preaching to the congregation, he lifts up his eyes and he sees the Lord coming, and he says to them, "Behold the lamb which taketh away the sin of the world." The Old Testament asks, "Where is the lamb?" The New Testament answers, "Behold the Lamb." Have you beheld Him yet? That Lamb is Christ. That every testimony given of Christ is that He was the sinless Lamb. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a Lamb without blemish and without spot. Even old Pilate had to say, I find in Him no fault at all. His person and His blood was spotless because Christ was virgin born, and that is important. God hath made of one blood all nations of men. What does that mean? That means simply that although there may be different blood types tonight, even in this congregation, and yet it is all the same blood. But you see, the problem is because of Adam's sin, it is tainted blood. But the Savior, being virgin born, had not blood tainted by human sin. It was the perfect, the sinless blood of God. Man had no part in His incarnation. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And there, of course, is the reason why the modernist puts an attack against the virgin birth of Christ. They want to just make Him like any other. But not only was it sinless, but it was also shed blood. The blood of the Passover lamb had to be shed. It wasn't enough to have a lamb for a household, even though it was perfect, even though it was without blemish. There was no salvation in and of itself in that. The lamb had to be slain. Verse 21 says, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. The death of the lamb was required at the Passover. It was the dying lamb. It was the shed blood that provided salvation and deliverance. And it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that still procures our salvation. You listen to the words of Hebrews 9 and verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to shed His precious blood. If there was ever salvation to be purchased for His people in the midst of a dying world, He had to give His very life. He had to give His very life's blood. He had to shed His blood. You know, there's something else which denotes that the blood was precious, in that it was collected in the basin. The hyssop was to be dipped into the blood that is in the basin. Something which is mentioned a second time over, even in these verses. And that for the sake of emphasis. Verse 22, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. The blood of the slain lamb that night of the Passover was not permitted to run into the ground. It was not spilled. It was not trampled underfoot. There is no mention here or anywhere else indeed of the blood being put upon the threshold of the home. It was too precious to be trampled upon. It was counted precious that it was collected in the basin. And dear soul, how much more precious is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that flowed from Emmanuel's veins for the pardon and for the redemption of His people. His blood was not spilled into the ground. It did not congeal away. Nor was it permitted to be trampled underfoot. For we read the words of Hebrews 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, or but with His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Just as the high priest would present the blood of the substitutory lamb on the day of atonement for the sins of the people. You see, the high priest had to slay that lamb out on the altar. He had to go by the laver. He had to go in beyond the veil once on the day of atonement. And there he had to present the blood of the slain lamb. And just as the Old Testament priest had to do that, so our great high priest, who was also the sacrifice, he laid down his life on the cross. No man took his life from him. He had the power to lay it down, thank God. He had also the power to take it up again. But he himself was to bring his own blood and present it before his Father in glory in the very holiest of holies. And he did so on our behalf and for the sake of his own people. It took nothing less than the blood of the Lamb to procure pardon and to appease the wrath of God against our sin. Leviticus 17:11, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Tell me, what think ye of the precious blood of Christ, God's Lamb? Does it mean nothing to ye, all ye that pass by? Does it mean nothing? I wonder, has your response to Christ and His precious blood, has it just been described in the words of Hebrews 10:29, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye? Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the spur of grace? You say, preacher, I've never trodden under foot the precious blood. I've never trodden under foot Christ, the Son of God. Let me tell you, dear soul, you do it every time. Every time you hear the gospel preached and you reject Christ and you go out through those doors saying, no, I will not have this man to rule over me. You're counting his blood as an unholy thing. You're doing despite to the spur of grace. Blood to me, listen. It's precious. It's precious. There's something else. I want you to see the application of the blood. While we've been considering the preciousness of it, I want you to see that because the family killed the lamb and collected its blood, not for them to escape the terror of the death angel. Now look with me at the words of verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts. In other words, there had to be the application of the blood, or they would know the visit of the death angel, just in the same manner in which the Egyptian households would know the visit of the death angel. The blood had to be applied because it was a divine command. You look back to the words of verse 1 and you notice that this is the message that the Lord gave to Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. This was God's command. What follows in the chapter is God's directive. He was sending the death angel as the tenth and as the final plague. The Passover lambs were taken. They were to be slain. But the difference that God would see between the Egyptian households and the homes of the children of Israel would be the sign of the blood having been applied. Verse 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And you have there God's directive of what was to happen that night. And that was the message per se that Moses delivers to the elders of Israel, as you have it in verse 21. He was teaching the children of Israel to observe all things that God had commanded him. They had to collect the blood so that it could be applied to the home. And Moses gives them the reason in verse 22. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. The destroyer would not enter where the blood had been applied in the home. The blood had to be applied, for this was what God had commanded. And again, consider that the blood had to be applied, had to be the blood of that slain lamb. It couldn't be that they would go and take some blood of something else. But the lamb that was slain in the evening was to be the blood that was applied to the doorposts and to the lintels of the house. Homes of the nation of Israel would be spared death on account of the lamb that had been slain and its blood shed and marked in that home. And the words of verse 22 also instruct us how the blood was to be applied. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. It was to be applied or sprinkled on the door by the hyssop bunch. The hyssop plant was a very small common bush, I understand, or branch in the Holy Land. It was that which grew out of the walls. And because of its leafy texture and its ability to absorb liquids well, it was commonly used as an applicator or as a brush. Especially in the Old Testament ceremonies, the hyssop branch was used for the sprinkling, for the application of the blood. And dear sinner, tonight in this meeting, you're just like the leper, you know, in the scriptures that we read about. The leper whose cry was, unclean, unclean. And you need to be cleansed from your sin. And what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But hear me out. It is not enough that Jesus died and shed his blood. Listen, the blood of Christ must be applied savingly to your heart. And I underline that because I have heard Irish Presbyterian ministers pray and thank God that because Christ died on the cross, then that's all that is needed. That all are therefore pardoned. The sinner doesn't need to call upon the Lord to have mercy upon them, nor to have their sins washed with the blood. That's not what I read in God's Word. My sinner friend, on that night of the Passover, the blood of the slain lamb had to be applied on the home if they were to see the death angel stead off. And the blood of Christ needs to be savingly applied to the doorposts and to the lintels of your heart, if I can put it like that, if you are to be saved. How can a guilty sinner in danger of eternal death have the blood of Christ savingly applied to them? It is by the hyssop branch of faith. And I tell you that this gift of faith given by God cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I would that you would by faith lay hold upon God's lamb tonight. That just now you would by faith cry out for God's salvation in the person of Christ. You'd plunge neath that crimson flood and lose all your guilty stains. And just as the hyssop plant was a very small and was a very weak plant, so your faith may be weak. But it's not the amount of faith that saves. It's the object. You hear a lot of people talking today about faith. It's not saving faith. Saving faith is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. But oh dear soul, that you would just come tonight in childlike faith. In childlike faith this evening, you can know that what the hymn writer penned and you sang it earlier on, amazing grace 'tis heaven below, to know the blood applied. Now we see it is the hyssop connects the Passover to the cross of Calvary. You see, John 19 and verse 29 says this: "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." The hyssop plant was reached up to the mouth of the Savior with that sponge full of vinegar in it. And this evening, the blood of Christ through faith can reach even you. Even you, wherever you are tonight in your sin. Praise God, it can reach you. For if you are to be saved from sin, it is essential. The blood of Christ is savingly applied to your soul. Let me ask each one tonight, is the blood savingly applied to your heart? Are you washed? Savior's blood, preciousness of it, the application of the blood, and there is also the protection of the blood. I see into that Israelite house tonight, not Passover night, and there I see the Lamb is slain. And his blood is collected in the basin, and the father of the home, he takes that hyssop bunch and he makes his way outside to the street, and there he sprinkles the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts of the house in accordance to God's word. And understand that the blood applied in the home was sufficient to cover all that were in the house. It may have been that some families were too small for a whole lamb, and so they would have joined with their neighbors. But the blood was sufficient for their covering. In Egypt that night, there were only two types of people. There were those who were under condemnation of death. And then there were the Israelites who were under the protection of the blood. It was the blood over the entrance to the home that protected them from the angel of death as he passed by at midnight. And I have good news for you, sinner, this evening. It is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is our protection. You see, there are only two sorts of people under the sound of my voice this evening. There are those who are still under the wages of sin, which is death. They're under the wrath of God. They are under the condemnation of God. But praise God, there are also those who are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder which is it for you? And God sees the blood as he looks upon his child. And he says to his children, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You see, the death angel comes to the child of God has no effect. Oh yes, this old body, this old earthly tabernacle, and may lie down. But the death angel can never take the soul. The devil has lost his grip of that soul forever. I am under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Are you under the blood? Are you under the protection of the blood? You see, it's not who you are. It's where you are. That's where the safety lies. If you're under the blood or not. I see into that home. On that night of the Passover, and the firstborn child, he's there, and he comes to his father, and he's heard to say, "Daddy, I don't feel safe." The death angel is passing by tonight. The death angel is going to take those and kill those who are the firstborn in every home. And I am your firstborn, Daddy, and I don't feel safe. But I hear the Father saying to him, Son, you don't need to be afraid. For the blood has been shed, and the blood has been applied to the home. It's not a matter of how you feel, whether or not you're saved. You're safe and secure not because of feelings, not because what you did or what you didn't do, but it's by and it's through the blood of the Lamb. And son, that blood has been shed, and that blood has been applied. You're sheltering underneath it, as I am. And dear loved one, in the gospel, you can have that same peace of heart. And you can have that same assurance that all is well with you, whether you're a teenager or whether you're 50 years of age. If you will repent of your sin and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and know the cleansing power of His blood, then you too will be eternally protected and eternally secure. For I give unto my sheep eternal life, Christ says, and they shall never perish. Aye, and it not only protects, but its power is continuous. I read in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the sense there, and the tense there, is that it is continually cleansing us. And David was to know that. For when David fell into sin as a believer, I want you to listen to his prayer, his repentant prayer in Psalm 51 and verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He needed to know the continual application of that blood and that continual cleansing. Maybe I'm preaching to one tonight and you're afar off from God. And God knows and you know what sin you're reveling in. You know how it started. You know the coldness that was there. You left off the Word. You left off prayer. And tonight finds you in Bypath Meadow and you've lost the joy of your salvation. My dear loved one, that is the prayer you need to pray. That by the hyssop of faith that you would get back to praying terms with God and that you would know the blood cleansing you afresh from all your backslidings. You don't need to get saved over again if you're genuinely saved. But you do need to be cleansed. You do need to get back to be with Christ. I tell you, there's power in the blood. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? Overcame the devil. The devil is no answer for the blood of Christ. That's why he hates it. That's why he hates preaching upon it. That's why he hates to hear God's people pleading the power of the blood. There's power in the blood. The devil may come to you and he may say, you aren't going to heaven when you die. Sure, you've failed the Lord many a time. Oh, men and women, pick up the branch, the hyssop branch of faith, and say to the devil, there's power in the blood. The blood of Christ shuts up the devil every time. The hyssop plant was just a little flimsy plant. But There was that little flimsy plant that applied the blood in the home on that Passover night. I wonder, will you by faith this evening, even though it's flimsy, even though it might be weak, wonder, dear soul, will you by faith this evening repent of your sin and plead the power of the Savior's blood to cleanse you tonight and to wash you and make you clean? May God give you the grace to do so. May He give you the gift of faith. May the preaching of the gospel tonight be mixed with faith in the soul that is yet without Christ. May God help you to come. And trust the Lord will bless His word to each of our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen. On the sing in closing 113, what sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God and all new covenant blessing brings? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. 113, let's stand as we sing this hymn through. 113. We thank the Lord tonight for the precious, precious blood of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord, there's salvation through the blood. Thank the Lord, we can know redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh God, we pray in the closing seconds of this meeting, Thou would give deciding grace for a dear soul that has often heard the gospel, but Lord, they've never plunged by faith into that fountain. They've never lost all their guilty stains. Lord, we pray tonight will be the night where Christ will meet with them. and save them by His grace. O God, speak on.